Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We sure did talk about Joseph Pulitzer all week.
For the whole week.
And we sure did still have to leave out an awful lot. You could do a whole podcast series on Pulitzer because his name touches so many things. And also, there was just a lot that went on in his life that is sometimes fascinating, sometimes weird. We'll talk about a few of those things today. We mentioned that when William Randolph Hearst bought the New York Journal, that Pulitzer's brother Albert was sort of involved, sort of. Mm-hmm. And we had mentioned that Albert came over after Pulitzer had sort of gotten settled. Theirs is kind of a sad story because Albert also went into publishing, was actually pretty good at it by most accounts, but he just didn't have like the drive and ambition of his brother. So he really didn't, you know, he kind of fades in the background historically. And the two were definitely in a situation where their relationship was quite strained because of the competition between them, which stinks. But Albert had owned the New York Journal. He sold it to a man named John McClane, not from Die Hard, obviously. And then John McClane turned around and sold it to Hearst. So there's also an interesting, like, just through line there of that having been Albert's paper that Hearst then used to drive down the world's numbers, which had to have been an extra layer of insult, probably. Related to the Hearst thing, and specifically the Yellow Kid, the artist that we mentioned that Pulitzer hired to replace Haute Colt, who his name I have heard pronounced many ways. We went with that pronunciation because it seems like most American journalists that cover this story say it that way. If that's not the way you say it, I'm sorry. But the artist we're actually talking about is George Luck, who replaced him at The World and started doing Hogan's Alley there. George Luck has this completely compelling painting career that he's another one that's on the list for me now because he fascinates me. There's a photograph of him where what really struck me was that it looks like every artist photograph any of my friends that like work in art or in comics would have taken today. Like the expression is there, that kind of wry, smart alecky, but wonderful, really charming expression. I'm sort of obsessed with George Luck now. We didn't mention it in the show, but the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which Pulitzer left after that whole shooting incident. He didn't sell it. He still had the Post-Dispatch. And in our Chapin episode, we mentioned that he went to St. Louis for a while and worked there. And that actually stayed in the Pulitzer family for a long time, like almost up until the 21st century. So just know that that wasn't an abandoned thing.
Right.
We also didn't talk about this thing that happened. Again, I had to take so much out because it was just ballooning. In 1900, Pulitzer's house in Manhattan burned essentially to the ground. He was not home at the time. Kate was home, and she had, like, run back into the burning building, like, a couple of times to get the kids out. One of their governesses died in the fire because she had gone back in to get Christmas presents that she had left inside.
Oh, no.
It was, like, a big tragedy. It's an interesting point for me in that I will say I was reading about it and I had that moment of, but then I was like, oh. So Kate and the children then went to a fancy pants unicorn hotel to stay while they figured out their next house. And they put up the staff in a boarding house. And I was like, of course the staff went to a boarding house. But then the Pulitzers did some pretty interesting things in that Kate then had a tailor make all new wardrobes for all of the staff.
Huh.
And Pulitzer donated a lot of money to the emergency services that had responded to the fire and tried to take care of people that were tangentially impacted by it. Like, I think that don't quote me on this. I think that governess's family got a substantial amount of money. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, they were pretty benevolent in the way they handled everything in the aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
Still very scary. And easy to do when you're richer than,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. One of the things I had noticed when trying to find a picture to put on our social media, needing two pictures because we have two parts, there was a surprising lack of, like, publicly available photos of him, which surprised me based on when he lived and his prominence. Like, usually somebody who was around at this point and was as prominent as he was, there's just a wealth of photographs and formal portraits and all of this other stuff. And there were just a lot fewer of them than I expected. And many of the ones that were there are, like, scans of something that was printed in a book that obviously looks like a late 19th century book scan and not something like an actual print of a photograph. And you had told me this is probably why.
Yeah, a lot of things were destroyed in that fire. A lot of art that they had collected was destroyed in that fire. Portraits, there were definitely portraits mentioned, both photographic portraits and some paintings of both Joseph and Kate, and I think their children that were destroyed in that fire. I had also mentioned to you that there are places that, you know, have archives of Pulitzer material. And in some cases, if they've scanned the actual material, you will see that it has burnt edges, or in some cases, half of the document is burned away. And it's kind of been pieced together by archivists what it likely said in the spaces that didn't exist. So we did lose a lot of details about him. And I wonder if that doesn't contribute to some degree to that sort of gap of understanding about his health.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting to read about his health because it always seems that everyone who was close to him, I don't want to say they ignored his issues or his mentions of it, but no one thought he was in, like, an imminent health crisis. Like, no one was like, he could go at any moment. We need to be on constant watch. It was like, yes, he's always kind of had these issues, but he's fine. That's just how he is.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it interesting that Kate was impressed upon enough by that telegram she got the day before he died, or I think it was the day he died, where she was like, I have to get to South Carolina.
Yeah.
We mentioned also that their marriage was not awesome. I did not follow down this rabbit hole because it wasn't that interesting to me. And I don't like to, it just didn't feel right to, like, go through the salacious gossipy parts. Although this is pretty well verified that Kate had for a while been romantically involved with one of the editors that worked for Pulitzer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clearly, like, theirs was not a relationship of, like, constant affection at all. He was gone so much, I think, you know, it's not surprising that that they became romantically attached to others. She did for sure. I don't know that he ever did. He was romantically attached to his work is what I think. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. We also didn't talk about the code book in this episode, which is pretty interesting, but like it came up in Chapin's, so I felt like that in particular felt like retreading old ground, where he had this whole code book of words that he would use to communicate with his editor so that if someone intercepted a telegram or something, they wouldn't know what was really going on. Mm-hmm. And that one of the things that I read that was kind of charming was that, like, it was considered, you know, a badge of honor for an employee to have a copy of that code book, because it was like, I'm in the inner circle now. I know what all the missives really mean, which is kind of fascinating. You know, people get very attached to their jobs and they become their identities, and achievement at their job becomes what makes them feel important. I'm not saying you shouldn't feel good about doing good jobs. I don't know. I just have feelings on that issue that aren't necessarily what everyone else would have. We didn't talk a lot about Lucille's death either, which was, again, she was 17. So she was old enough that, you know, she was a significant part of the family, and her health had been kind of up and down for several months. Mm-hmm. And they were scared she was going to die on Christmas Eve, and she didn't. And she, you know, had even made sure that everybody had presents and stuff. And then she rallied, but she died on New Year's Eve. And one biography I read made a really interesting point that, like, Joseph Pulitzer had grown up with his siblings dying and his father dying, and just, like, burying one family member after another. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of seemed like he had made this, for the most part, insulated world. They had lost that one child when she was a toddler. But other than that, you know, into his adult life, he had really kind of, for lack of a better phrase, kept himself safe from that kind of heartache again. Mm-hmm. And there really is a moment where, like, after Lucille dies, which I think we had said was 1887, he seemed like he became more withdrawn from everyone else again. Like, that's really when he kind of starts living on the yacht most of the time and, like,
yeah,
kind of putting himself in this own cone of silence, even when he's not with the family. And I feel like he is one of those people that would have benefited so deeply from talking to a mental health professional.
Well,
and I, you know, all of the resources on earth could not have helped him at that
point.
Yeah.
Well, and that whole incident in his newsroom, like, as I was reading that, I was like, therapy. I think all of you, I know therapy today versus when they were living, not quite the same.
Very different
thing,
yes.
But also, man, the fact that whole bickering scenario, I was like, all of you needed to talk to somebody about how to deal with your angry feelings.
It was honestly like reading those newspaper jabs at each other back and forth felt like reading social media, just a slower version, where I was like, you guys, you're all very special and important. You don't have to fight. You're all very valid, good boys. I don't know. I just, the amount of bickering that led to somebody getting killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where I'm like, I will say this. Cockrell had a history of gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not real surprising that he was ready to shoot Slayback. He had been in duels and whatnot before. He was very quick to challenge people to duels. That was never satisfactorily solved, isn't the right word, because it wasn't considered like an investigative case. But it's kind of like, you know, the Panama Canal thing sputtered out. Mm-hmm. There was never any conclusive determination, and it was like, yeah, there's no evidence, so I guess this didn't happen, or it's gone if it did.
There was just so much drama and scandal and strife around the Panama Canal, and it has come up over, I mean, just decades of history and multiple different episodes of the show, and I'm not sure if prior hosts ever did something that was like more of a comprehensive look at it seems like there's something that has is way back in the archive that's also related, but man, it's just whole saga of the Panama Canal.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of everything because so many people eventually had a stake in it, and they were all trying to protect their own interests in ways that led them to lie about things that, like, untangling that particular mess is very, very difficult. I will tell you a funny thing to end this on a more hilarious note. I don't often do this, but particularly in thinking about Pulitzer and Hearst, without intending to, I cast actors in my head of who they are.
I love this.
And I realized I have always thought of this actor as Pulitzer for no reason I can figure out. And it's Guy Pearce. I don't know why. Hearst is a little bit of a thing where my brain knows better, but still keeps making this same casting choice, which is Gerald McRaney, who mm-hmm. I love. Mm-hmm. But he played George Hearst in Deadwood. But my brain just went Hearst, Hearst, Hearst. And so he's always William Randolph Hearst, even though he only ever played William's father, George. So those are the two men who are battling it out in my head when I envision these two titans of publishing fighting with each other.
That's awesome.
So if anybody ever writes a Pulitzer biopic or directs it, please do everything you can to cast Guy Pearce in the role. That would be great for my mental well-being, and would delight me on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
So much Pulitzer. I feel like we could never cover all of Pulitzer, just like the Panama Canal. There's just too much. But those are two big pieces of his life that I think covered the the bigger moments in broad strokes. There are lots of other little business dealings and whatnot that merit investigation and discussion, but they can't all go in a week of show.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's up. If this is the end of your week, your work week, and you have some time off ahead, marvelous. I hope it goes spectacularly well and that you think about media bias when you go through the world, because that kind of cracked me up that Pulitzer was all about unbiased journalism, because you're unbiased if you agree with me. If you don't have time off and you had to do some work, I hope you also have at least some restive moments, some times where you can chill out and be with yourself in your cone of silence if you desire. And we'll be right back here tomorrow with a classic. And then on Monday, there will be another new episode. So we'll see you right back here.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL Schedule Release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.